world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 240. I'm creator and host, Don Hutchison. Every day I interview someone from around the world who has discovered his talents to do work he loves, to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Once a week, I interview a well-known expert from the fields of personal development or business development who share experiences, tools, and insights to help our listeners along their journeys. Cultivating and connecting a team of people is a lot like growing a garden, according to landscape specialist Jeff McManus. Once the vegetable falls off the plant, it starts to rot. If it's not attached and growing, it's rotting. At Ole Miss, the people who care for the plants are showing the importance of cultivating each other. Today's guest tells us how. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Don. Great to be with you today. Thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure. Jeff is a popular speaker and trainer for local, state, and national organizations and industry. His first book, Pruning Like a Pro, has garnered attention for its fun and simple approach to the gardener's dilemma, pruning. You can receive his blogs at jeffmcmanusspeaking.com. Jeff's newest book, Weeders to Leaders, is in process. So, Jeff, today, as we've talked about prior to this interview, you're going to be talking about this leadership issue and what you've learned about it and some of the ideas you developed. And so the theme of our discussion is turning weeders to leaders. So take the floor and just tell us what you think about that.
Well, absolutely, Don. One of the other roles I get to play that I absolutely love is getting to be the director of landscape services at Ole Miss campus, one of the SEC premier campuses. And so I get to be involved with frontline blue-collar men and women who are out there doing some hard work every day. Mm-hmm. And where Weeders to Leaders came from is I've always been a big proponent of growth and growing things. I love to grow plants, but really in the last few years I've figured out it's really more about growing the people that grow the plants. And it was probably a rainy afternoon and one of my supervisors walked in and said, "They're here again," and just looked at me, and I'm like, "Who's here again?"
Right.
And Don, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Dramanator. It's kind of like a drama queen.
Okay.
They were here, and I'm like, "Oh no, what is going on again?" And it's all this drama going on in the background of the workplace and causing issues, and it's like something's got to change. Something's got to change. This is crazy. And I figured out, Don, the person that needed to change was me.
Mm-hmm.
I was the person that had to change first because I had to start being proactive and start planting a positive culture that grew and flourished versus letting a culture just determine what it wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't intentionally plant good seed, you know, everything else in the world will come up and grow. And that's what I was letting happen. I said, you know what, why don't we try something different? Let's try an experimental beta group of five people from the front lines, and let's just talk about leadership. Let's talk about things about attitude. Let's talk about being dependable, committed, being that go the second mile kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some great conversation. I became a facilitator. I just let people talk, and it was a pretty neat little group. And after it was over, we decided we'd meet again, and I had to answer the question, you know, why are we doing this? And so I said, well, guys, it's kind of like the garden. Once the vegetable falls off the plant, what does it do?
Yes.
And everybody says, well, it starts to rot.
Yes.
And so if it's not attached and growing, it's rotting. And so that's really been the answer to the question of why we're meeting. And to just take a shorter story, we're all meeting now in small groups in our department where we're doing a book or doing a DVD or just watching a TED talk or some stimulating outside video, usually nothing to do about landscaping. And it's just great to give these young men and women and older men and women a voice at the table and hear their heart. And before long, our culture changed. And it actually, you know, if you want really good grass, you grow really good grass and you feed it and you water it, and it'll choke out the weeds.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that was utterly original of you to take this group.
These are full-time employees here, and
okay.
We've been doing it now for about 5 years, Don. We actually just got out of a meeting here just a few minutes ago. It's a highlight of my month. we don't have time to do them. We're too busy doing other things. But you know what? It's like putting money in a really smart investment fund. Mm-hmm. You do it so that it grows and you have a huge return on your principal.
That's fantastic. Was it hard to sell in? I mean, when you said, okay, listen, I've got this idea, how did you frame it when you got started? I mean, I can imagine some people said, yeah, right.
You're exactly right, and especially the Drominators. You know, what was neat is the Drominators started talking in these meetings, and the other folks, the solid, strong people were like, I can kind of see the fault in his thinking, and they lost influence with the group. So yeah, everybody at first was sort of looking at each other and kind of awkward, and I had to put people at ease. I had to build an environment of trust. You know, we're not here to laugh at each other. We're not here. No answer's right and no answer's wrong. We're here to talk, and a good facilitator will try to get good discussion going and give people a voice and hear them and listen. I'm telling you, that's all it is. It's that simple. 1 hour a month with about five different groups of folks and here all in our area. And it's just cultivated a great return on what we do.
Well, and you said key to the whole thing is it all starts with the individual. It all started with you, because if you're not transparent and authentic and centered, then nobody believes you and everything becomes potentially conflicting. But if you are, then everything has a better chance to flow, right?
Absolutely. You're right. And what we ended up doing is we start our training classes. So if we wanted to teach a guy how to do a certain mowing or weeding or trimming shrubs, we started getting better responses in this, and we actually created Landscape University, where we actually now take people in a systematic approach through technical training, so to speak, on what we do. But then we also weave in leadership, developing how to deal with people, some of those people skills and things. So it's been great. We're getting the full package now of teaching people versus just focusing on the head or the hands on the knowledge and the work. We're focusing more on the character of the person or the inside, those everyday life, so to speak, issues. So it has been a home run for us.
Oh, bravo. It's a brilliant idea. It's heart-centered and it's strategic and tactical at the same time. I love this idea. Did you give them books to read? Or, well, you said sometimes you watch a TED Talk and things, but
yeah.
What resources do you use?
Since we've been doing it 5 years, we've done several things. We've really jumped in at first with some John Maxwell type,
yes,
just fun things like 17 essential qualities of a team player. And it was really just to get the discussion about what's a good team player look like. And I'm telling you, that was gold right there. And then we did some more Maxwell stuff. We did some Zig Ziglar,
for sure,
type stuff. We've done some Les Brown. We've done some other guys like that. And then TED Talks are just, you got to get the right TED Talk. You got to pre-screen these things and get it where folks who are out there on the front field, you know, front lines, will then something they'll enjoy and entertain to some degree. Mm-hmm. You want to keep people awake. I learned that, you know, make sure you have some candy in the room. And, you know, these guys get up super early in the morning, so they're tired. You slow them down and sit them down for an hour. Right. They could conk out. So we always try to keep it fun and lively in the aspect of doing it.
Well, give us some other stories or go wherever you want to with this, because there's so much that you're doing that I think listeners want to hear about. It's a very innovative idea.
When I first came to Ole Miss, I was hired here, brought in because we were doing a lot of beautification projects, and a lot of the plants were dying. I was recruited to come in, and I applied for the job and got it, but I noticed that there was this one lady on our front lines who was working so hard. She didn't have a college degree. She was just super attitude, super worker, smiled all the time. And I'm like, okay, what's her name? And somebody told me, hey, that's Denise. And I said, okay, Denise, she's a hard worker. Yeah, she's good. And so we're doing all these things on campus. We're getting all these new plants, and we're not having any time to do shrub maintenance, any type of flower maintenance. So Denise is working on the mow crew with all the guys. And I asked her, I said, Denise, can we pull you off the mow crew and let you start doing some of this detail work on the shrubs and flowers? She goes, sure, I'd love to do that. So we put her over there, and she did wonderful. She knocked it out of the park by herself. And we said, you know, we're getting more and more landscaping. They're doing more new things. Denise, what if we gave you a couple of guys to work with you, and you trained them, and maybe you become a supervisor? And she kind of pushed back on that. She said, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to be a leader and have to make responsible decisions and people not liking me. I'm not one of the guys, and so to speak. And mm-hmm. she said, why don't you try? Sure enough, she did, and she killed it. I mean, she did a great job. She became a supervisor. We nicknamed her crew Delta Force because they just did anything and everything. Nobody wanted to, and they had this great reputation on campus of just being go-getters. They actually put a tag on their truck that said Delta Force, and they were just cool. Well, as universities go, when you're doing well, they give you more to do and not any more funds to do it. So they gave us the airport to manage and then the golf course. So I said, Denise, I need somebody to run day-to-day operations to here on the main campus and run this 1,000 acres here on campus. And I think
1,000 acres.
Yeah, 1,000 acres.
It's huge.
Okay. She pushed back from that. She said, she goes, supervisor was one thing. I'm equal with those that I came in and worked for, but I don't know that I can be a superintendent. I don't have a college degree. I don't have the training. I said, Denise, I think you can do it. I think you've got this. Why don't you try it? So she tried it, and sure enough, she knocked it out of the park, and that was about 8 years ago. And listen, don't tell anybody this, but she actually does a better job than I do running the department now. So it's great seeing her success, but she was truly a weeder developed into a true respected leader on campus. You know, there's not a lot of women in our industry mm-hmm. that do this, and she has the respect of all those around her. So she's truly one of those weeder to leader stories.
Wow, beautiful. Does she feel more comfortable wearing that mantle a little bit? I'm sure she's still humble, but is she doing all right?
Yeah, you're right. She's very humble. She is actually now developing people as well. So she has already developed several people and raised them up. We call it recognizing talent.
Right.
And she was kind of hidden in the weeds and got her developed, and now she's doing the same thing. It's all about growing. Keep growing. And if you stop growing, you start rotting. Yeah. So we just created this culture of growth. That's what Landscape University continues to let us do, because it forces us every time to go back and train and develop classes. Let me just tell you a little quick story about Landscape University.
Well,
I didn't start it thinking Jeff's going to teach all the classes. Mm-hmm. You know who learns the most in any teaching situation is who?
Yes, right. The teacher.
The teacher. And so our goal is to get everyone teaching a class.
Right.
And we've done a good job of getting a lot of our people in there teaching, but I wanted Denise teaching and some of these other folks. And not only that, when we develop the classes, we just don't go out and hawk some curriculum off the internet or buy it in from a university. We actually let our staff participate at key areas on what they think the new person should know, or what a new student who comes in and works as a student worker should know. So we let our staff even help develop the class for Landscape University, and we try to let as many as we can teach. This is very empowering. You were talking about that pushback earlier and that staring at you, but this has given us so much buy-in that it's their program. That's what I wanted. I wanted people, I love what I do, and I wanted them to love what they do, and I didn't want them to ever feel like I'm ramming something down their throat, so to speak, and
yeah.
pushing an agenda. But it's, why are we doing this? You know, why? To continue to be the best of the best, be one of the top in our field. And so that's our reputation. That's our sort of our motto here is to cultivate greatness and be the best of the best.
Well, I know you're doing it. I have to ask you this. I can imagine that as your reputation has grown over the last handful of years, that the word has spread at all levels of university, from students to administration. Have other universities asked you to share your knowledge and wisdom with them so they can develop a Landscape University?
Well, that's an interesting question. We started getting a lot of inquiries on that. So we created a course, or actually a conference. Right now we're only teaching it live. The first Wednesday of April of every year, we do a 2-day conference. So this year it's April 6th and 7th, and people will come here. We were getting so many inquiries that it was taking too much time to do them one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So now we just share our secrets with other universities. We've had a lot of other universities come. We've had some businesses come. Be a part of it. And I want to see our industry grow. I want to see our people on the front lines be respected and continue to build their self-worth and what they do. But here's the funny thing, Don, that the university has given me the license to this, to go out and teach it to other places. So I'm talking with a moving company this past week, and I'm telling them about Landscape University, and they go, that's what we need for our moving company. It's not about landscaping. It's about how to develop people and how to transfer your standards and how to grow buy-in. And these guys want to take their moving company to be a multi-million dollar company. And I just ask them, how are you going to do it? How are you going to train those people how to do what you're doing when you need to go back to the office and build business and you can't be out on the truck loading the truck?
Right.
They didn't have a good answer. And so I just shared a little bit about a level 100 in Landscape University and level 200. And I said, you could do this for your business. So now I'm working with those guys, helping them build their moving business to be a multi-million dollar business.
Oh my gosh.
You know what it shows is, it shows universities are out trying to help people. And that's what universities should be doing, helping our world be a better place.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is so smart, Jeff. I'm so happy for you. Well, tell us, we've got a few minutes here. Tell us anything else that you have that would that you think listeners would like to hear.
Well, I'm sure you're a believer in this, but failure is never the end of anything. Failure is just the process to getting to success.
That's right.
And when we started Landscape University, it's pretty funny for us here because there is no such thing out there. So we were like Christopher Columbus trying to discover the new world. There was no map. We didn't know how to get to Landscape University. And we came up with so many different ideas that just never worked. And we kept taking it to our staff and letting them help us with it. Came out with an incredible product. It took us 4 years, Don, to create along with doing our normal job. So it's a lot of fun to do. But I think back to it kind of mirrors my career. When I first was in college, I was at Auburn.
Okay.
And I was a marketing major.
Okay.
And I was in there with 500, jokingly, with my closest friends, right? So the professor didn't know me from Adam. The same time or sometime in there, I took a horticultural class. And I loved that horticulture class. I'm like, this is really nice. Class is smaller. The professor, Dr. Harry Ponder, knows my name. Every day I walked into class, he greeted me by my name.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out did well in that class, in the horticulture class. Got my marketing grade back in, over the School of Business. They really liked me a lot. They wanted me to repeat that class again so much. I failed it. So I said, you know what? This is sort of a directional here. I can take this as a, you know, I'm a failure, or I can look at this as direction. My passion was in the horticulture part.
What was it about horticulture? I think listeners would love to know that.
Yeah, well, what really got me is I loved the plants, what they do, but really what got me is that when Dr. Ponder knew all those plant names, I was always impressed with it. But as I'd said before, because he knew my name, he made me feel so important.
Yes.
I connected with that relationship of his leadership style, of how he empowered people and made them feel worthy, and how they felt significant in studying plants. And honestly, that's what excited me about the plants. I love the plants, but it was more of the empowering people and growing the people who grow the plants is what really, and I didn't figure that out, Don, until the last 5-6 years. That's why I'm doing the speaking now and doing more training, is because I have that deeper passion.
Yes.
You asked me how I figured that out.
Yes.
And I did an exercise one time. I listened to a guy speak. His name is Marcus Buckingham.
Oh, sure, sure.
And Marcus, I don't know if you've done this exercise. He says, take a piece of paper, put a line down the middle, and everything that you hate doing, when you're doing it, write it down on one side of the paper. And everything that you love doing, that you just feel like you're in your sweet spot, when you get through doing it, you're going, wow, that was fun. Write it on the other side of the paper. So I did that, and I was finding the things that I really loved to do was to engage and have meaningful conversations with people, meaningful training and developing, inspiring people, helping them see a bigger picture, their significance, their worth, and what they did. And the things I hated to do were all the administrative things of accounting and all those kind of things, QuickBooks and all the, those lovely things. So I quickly tried to sub out and get rid of all the things I don't like to do and focus on those things that I do enjoy doing now.
He wrote several books. What was his?
That one was called, I believe, Standout was the one that I picked up on that one.
Yeah, exactly. He and the Gallup people did all that work on what are you doing, what you love, are you doing using your skills and everything. That was their that was their work. He was amazing. Tell us, we've got a few minutes here. Tell us what else you can add.
Well, my life has been just been a process of discovery, and I find as I'm writing my book, Growing Weeders to Leaders, that it's really a discovery process, just like growing plants. You find out what environment they work best in. Do they like shade? Do they like sun? Do they need to have less or more fertilizer, acidic soil? And my life has been a process of discovering through failures and so forth. I remember one time I was working in Miami, and Hurricane Andrew had just come through, and we were probably 60 miles away from the eye, but so we got hit pretty good and shut down the resort I was working in. I was doing landscaping there, 300-acre resort, and we were just mowing and go. I mean, we were just wide open, trying to get the resort open, and it all went well. We got everything back together, and I had my evaluation with my boss. Now, granted, this was a boss that I didn't have a lot of respect for. It was one of the few bosses that I had a struggle with. But he gave me some of the best feedback I had ever gotten in my life. I'm sure he told me all the good things that I was doing. I'm sure he gave me a lot of kudos. He probably gave me the sandwich, the good stuff. But then the thing that I'll always remember, he said, "Jeff, you take things way too personal."
Mm.
I said, "No, I don't." But he was right. During that whole Hurricane Andrews, if they called a meeting in the hotel for us to gather, I would come in with such a chip on my shoulder thinking I was doing great things outside, and I didn't see the value of his meeting and how dare him bring me in. I had that probably a little arrogant attitude for a young 20-year-old, and it really taught me a lot that he was able to share that with me. It's helped me tremendously in my career. Something that I've valued is being able to see those blind spots. They are not fun to see. Mm. They're not easy, but that has been something that has been tremendously helpful to me throughout my career.
Yes.
I'll give you another quick story.
Please.
Just before that, I was working at Grand Cypress in Orlando at another real high-end resort. And I'd probably been there 2 months, and I was been out of school 2 months. I was green behind the ears. And one of our old employees, he was probably 35. So, but he had been there for years on that property, and he was the go-to guy. I mean, he was the heart, he was the workhorse, he was the organizer, but I was over him. Just kind of picture a staff sergeant who runs everything, and then a young first lieutenant comes in. I should have just kept my mouth shut, but he walked over to me and he said, "Jeff, come look at this huge flower bed we just did and tell me what you think about it." Well, in my mind, I'm thinking I don't want to tell him too much because I don't want to get him too big-headed and too arrogant and too cocky. So I said, "It looks good, Rick, but you kind of got a few flowers over here in the back crooked." And his face dropped, and he dropped everything in his hands, and he looked at me square in the eyes, and he said, "I quit."
Oh.
He turned his back to me in front of the entire crew, and he walked off. And even today, when I tell that story, I still get that flush, that embarrassed feeling of, "Oh no, don't leave, Rick. Don't go." Oh. And you know, mentally, I'm grabbing his ankles and trying to drag him back, and I'm thinking, man, this is one of the top go-to guys in our company running a major account, a 5-diamond resort, and he's quitting. And here I am, been here 2 months, and it's because of me he's quitting.
Mm.
Well, I had a lot of soul searching to do and processing, and of course talked to my boss about it. And fortunately, Rick went cool down and realized I was a young green whippersnapper, and we had some good one-on-one time, and Rick said, "Jeff, never forget that your words mean something."
Oh, yes.
And he said, "You do this quite often." He goes, "That was just the straw that broke the camel's back." He says, "You have these little cutting comments mm-hmm. that really cut deep." Mm-hmm. And especially if you're a positional boss, like I was there, I had the title, but I wasn't acting like a very good leader.
Right.
Those people work hard. And so you've got to encourage and empower and inspire them, not be nitpicky. I mean, they have worked hard over those projects. So it was a part of evolving and growing in leadership to realize that my role as a leader is to grow Rick as a person and continue to encourage him and give him what he needs.
And as a young man, did you think, this was probably, I'm sure, right out of your subconscious, as a young man, you probably thought you didn't want to be too encouraging and you ought to say something constructively critical to show that you're discriminating and everything, right?
I mean, that's right.
Was that it?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I mean, I'm just thinking totally weird and backwards on that, but you know, he was just looking for a compliment because you know, what was bad is I should have already have been proactive and already done it. The first thing I walked up, I should have said something. I shouldn't have had to wait to have him ask me about it either.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, if you had a criticism, you could have said, "Well, hey, is it perfect? Do you think it needs anything? I love it. What do you think?" And he might have even said what you were critiquing himself.
That's yeah. Right, Don. You're right.
Well, but you were 20 years old. We could barely find the bathroom door. You know.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, listen, Jeff McManus. What a great pleasure having you on today. This is bravo for such creativity and innovation and leadership yourself. And you know, we're just excited for you and look forward to having other conversations on these leadership topics. So, how do our listeners get in touch with you? How do they find out more about you and Landscape University, if you'd like them to?
Sure. Well, you can check out our website. It's jeffmcmanusspeaking.com.
Good.
And I'm on LinkedIn, Jeff McManus.
Okay.
And, of course, on Facebook and Skype, Jeff McManus.
Excellent. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, listeners know you can go to discoveryourtalentpodcast.com to the podcast section, of course. There'll be show notes, a description, the highlights of this fine interview, along with all the links. So it's just easy, 1, 2, 3. I want to thank you, listeners across the world, our growing audience, for tuning in to our show. You know that we have created a while back an infographic, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed, 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love, based on the thinking of women and men for hundreds of years, really, that have inspired millions of people. We've had great feedback. It's a free asset, and we hope you'll click in and enjoy it. If you like interviews like this, you can subscribe on Stitcher and iTunes, and please do. We'd like to have you a part of our tribe, and we'd like to know how to serve you better. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them, and we cannot ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive, we thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.